out to truckdriver101.com. We help you get into the trucking industry, help you figure out your problems, and keep you out of those pitfalls. Here's your host, Big Ken.
Hey guys, this is Big Ken, how to truckdriver101.com. As you can see, we changed the intro a bit. Having a little fun there. Let's see. When I make money on this, when you hear, when one day you'll tune in and there'll be a sponsor, then I'll get a professional intro. Till then, this is free, damn it. Alright guys, made a few changes to some things, so you'll see a couple new ways I described on the iTunes, so you'll be able to check that out. You can just change a few descriptions. I put that this is an explicit helpful podcast for people new to the trucking industry. So, what does that mean? That means I can say whatever I want, damn it. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. We explain that this is a explicit podcast. Doesn't mean I'm going to cuss like a sailor, but it does mean I'm going to say what I want. And on this podcast, if you're new, we basically try to help people, help everybody into the trucking industry. Been doing trucking for 6 years, worked for Warner Enterprises, company I started with. Left Warner Enterprises about 9 months ago, something like that. Pretty close to a year almost. And I work for Falcon Transport. So let's talk about Falcon Transport currently and get a little update there. So I'm finally doing, at first when I started with Falcon, they kind of run you around the world on different accounts. Suggestion for anybody out there, I've talked about it before and I'm a bit, going to repeat myself, but I'm going to say this again. You do not want to put yourself in a position where you're helping out too much. Understand, it's just like a real job. If you don't like doing overtime, and your company's busy, you know that if you do overtime once, it'll be asked again. The problem is that a lot of the accounts, they're like day runs. I mean, it's like 400 miles, 500 miles runs. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can make some more money, and I'm probably going to do a few of them. I got a couple unexpected bills. Yeah, but other than that, though, I don't want to mess around and lose my regular run. My regular run goes from Canada down to Texas. And, well, not Texas. That's not really Texas. That's Arkansas. It's kind of lower half of Arkansas. So it's like all the way at the bottom towards the Mexico border. You know, I said Mexico. Why am I saying I'm such an idiot. Anyway, so let's talk about currently. So that's what's going on currently. One of the things that I noticed quickly, I got speaking to drivers who've done this before. First thing you'll find out is that the company, they use older trucks, so you got to stay on top of the repairs. I have not had a problem keeping my repairs up. Just you really need to do a pre-trip inspection every single day. This is not a joke. These are not new trucks. They don't have urea, which is the, I don't forget what they call the fuel now, that exhaust fuel that you have to add in. Wasn't that thought through? If you're in the trucking industry, if you're not in the trucking industry, there's a fuel that we have to add to burn up more of the emissions. The problem, however, was no one thought this thing through. So basically, it's all kind of crazy. I mean, as you have to go and pilot, certain places don't have it. I'm not sure how the truck runs without it. I've noticed, I don't know if they modified our fuel lately, but I've noticed that a lot of trucks are smoking and they kind of smell weird. They smell like fried food or something. I don't know what that smell is. I wonder if they put some type of grease in it. But anyway, back to Falcon. So everything's going pretty good. I got my benefits going. You can start your 401k immediately when you get there, so I did that. I'm making okay money. I really don't want to make a lot of money. Like I say, I'm finna start doing more on the podcast, doing more on iTunes. I'm finna open up some other projects. I'm finna start doing writing a book that I will be putting out. It'll actually start out as a audiobook, then it'll become a book, then it'll become a comic kind of like book. So I'm starting to do that now, so you'll be on the lookout for that. Haven't decided on the name of what that'll be under. So because of that, I really want time, T-I-M-E, as they say. So I like the fact, I mean, every holiday, understand though, if you work for Falcon Transport, every holiday you will be off. There's always extra freight to do. This is a great job if you want to do a lot of extra freight. The problem is the consistency of that freight. They're usually looking for somebody to replace, and sometimes that freight is not as, you know, it might be 400 miles, and you might get four or five of those, maybe, well, sometimes four of those, maybe two or three of those. So, but I'm getting to the point where I might start asking about some day cab runs, because I'm, you know, I've been doing this for 6 years, and getting to that point where I'm ready to sit it down. I want to sleep in one state. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. I love it. I got to admit, it's pretty cool. I mean, my run is short, and I had a little unexpected financial situations happen. But other than that, I'm pretty happy. You know, it's pretty good. As far as the trucks go, I mean, you had some troubles. You're going to have some issues with the trucks. But, dude, believe me, I had a brand new ProStar. I've talked about it before. I spent more time in the shop with a brand new ProStar than I did with this truck. I haven't even been to a shop on the road. It's just little stuff. Truck was smoking, needed to filter, needed change in, just little stuff, lights out, things like that. They take care of a lot of that stuff for you. Now, the one thing you got to really pay attention to, guys, is you really have to have a relationship with your dispatcher. We are hauling GM parts. That is a deal with the devil in a sense, because you never know what's going on with GM. You know, successful today, tomorrow SUV sales go out and we're all down. The good part is we're hauling parts, so we're not directly a part of the car sales. Anybody who's ever manufactured parts or worked in a parts factory, you'll know that. So when you work in a parts factory, it's like, difference between parts is like when you work in an assembly plant, when car sales go down, they kind of shut you down. You'd be surprised how many parts can be interchanged and used and kept on sometimes sold to other people. And, you know, a part on this car is called this, you know, the Buick this is the same part that came from the Honda that, you know. So sometimes parts are so interchangeable like that. So there's always a quarter kind of needed. A quota, I should say, kind of needed. So you it's real good, consistent running. So I leave. I'm gone for about 4 days, 2 days down, 2 days up, and I'm usually back on Sunday or Saturday. And so that's the cool part, you know. Last holiday, I decided not to do any like really cool extra runs they had. So I kind of stayed home. I was home for 7 days. Take that back. Six days. Again, they called, wanted me to run. I didn't do it. I just wanted to sit down. Now, when you do that, though, you do regret it, of course, because you don't get paid the next week. Remember, if you come work for Falcon, they pay you every 2 weeks. And so you really got to pay attention to that reality. And let's see who's... And I'm back after dealing with the phone. When I say Falcon pays you every 2 weeks, what I mean is that you work, 1 week check is always out. So you don't get paid that next week. You'll get paid the next second week. You won't get paid when you take time off like I did. But how many of you are out there still making okay money? I didn't say great money, okay money. Plus, still got 6 days off came the holiday. I mean, I'm talking holidays, guys. I mean, I was off for June. I was off for Memorial Day. I'll probably be off for 4th of July. And every time it's a holiday, you're off pretty much. So, you know, you just go get your load, and your load usually delivers maybe Monday or Tuesday. If you want to do some extra, go ahead. And hell, if you don't want to do any extra, it's magnificent, baby. So, you know, I got to go because I had a root canal, which I am not the greatest right now. But so because of that, it's going to cost a lot of money. I have to say there, insurance, as far as I've used the pharmacy pills, it's pretty good. I've only paid $9 and I've had four medications I've gotten. However, I have noticed the dental. Ooh, Now, I've had a little issues as far as dental, so because of that, I'm paying quite a bit of money out for a root canal. Just life, right? So, I gotta come up with some more money. No big deal, really. It's just, you make plans, you got other things you need to take care of. They're kind of major, and you gotta do what you gotta do, as always, but woe is me. Yeah, right. Anyway, back from my sob story, let's talk about the next little subject I wanted to touch on today, which was training. I wanted to talk about becoming a trainer. If you guys out there, you want to train, I'm going to give you a little bit of advice. If you're going to train, you need to be on the blog. I got an entire thing I talk about training. You can click on that. I'll put a link down below in the description. You need to check out the entire blog. I talk a lot about training. In fact, I'm going to do a video on it. I'm going to do quite a few videos probably today, and then I got to leave out today, so I will be back probably this weekend. So this weekend I'll kick out a few videos online. Probably going to do a couple of backup videos too. But basically training, what I wanted to talk about as far as training is when you train, you need to be very aware of yourself. You know, training is like almost like 90% self-control, and then like almost 10% manipulation, as bad as that sounds. When I say manipulation, I mean, how can I put it? It's not that you're trying to con somebody, but you have to learn. Everyone has a bad moment or a bad attitude or something that they do that's stupid. So what you have to do is learn how to manipulate that by motivating them forward. Does that mean that you're ultra negative or anything? No. Not so much that. It's just learning how to, in a sense, tilt their attitude towards the way you need them to go so you can teach them. The reason I say it's 90% you is because their attitude will depend on how you behave. If you behave a certain way, their attitude will change. And if you control yourself, if you learn how to control yourself, you will control them in a sense. Don't get me wrong, it's more like, let me put it this way, I had a student once, a young guy. He had a really kind of fiery temper when he would make a mistake. He was a young college guy. Now, the thing you'll learn really quickly about guys who go to college is they really do not think very well when it's outside of a test book. And it's not because they're stupid or anything. It's just, you know, you got to think about it. They went from high school and all those years in high school, and then they went to college, and then they come out because they don't want to be $99,000 in debt, or as one guy told me, he was $34,000 in debt, and he just wanted to get a little bit of it paid down, just a little. You know, he's like, I just don't want to be, you know, if I could get 10,000 and just, you know, keep it from going to 40, he just felt good about that. I tried to tell a young cat, you might as well finish it out, you know, but he wanted to keep going, but whatever. So he would get really mad when he would make a mistake, and he also had an inability to take in information for, like, as an example, he couldn't understand shifting. Like, everyone knows when you get into trucking, when you learn to shift, you shift down for power. Now, he didn't understand that. He thought, you know, you shift down for power at 1200 and 16, and then you, well, 1500, excuse me, and then you shift out at 12. So he had figured that when you're going up a mountain, that would be the same way, you know, that you would just shift up the mountain. And when you explained to him how to do it, and he saw me doing it, he still couldn't understand it. And it's like you have to figure out, okay, how do I put this in a way where he'll understand it? What you'll find out with a lot of college cats is the key is to be very, very specific about every single thing you say. So in other words, the way I did it was, one, you let him screw up on the shift. Then you tell him, all right, downshift is when you, whatever gear that you go up that hill in, you want it to be high enough so you can go down at a reasonable speed. All right? So now we need to get at least to fifth. In the truck I was in, the fifth gear would get us up this mountain. So I told him to go ahead and start downshifting. We got in the truck only lane and we started downshifting as the truck was going down. And you do this gradually, you don't do it all at once. But I knew from being experienced on that mountain that fifth would get us up there. So we got in fifth gear, and I knew, even though I explained and told him several times not to come out the gear, of course he doesn't, it just doesn't click. So he comes out the gear, and now we hit it. Now the engine is breathing heavy and we can't get in gear. And so I said, well, that's it, you better catch a lower gear. So he goes down to third. So now we're really creeping up the mountain. We got the four ways on because we're going slower than everybody else on the highway. So as we're going up the mountain again, I didn't get upset. Like I say, it's all about controlling you now. And I say, now when you can, I want you to shift up, and we want to try to get to sixth gear before we crest at that mountain. So before we get, I told him, go ahead, all right, now just try to get up there. Now, I didn't help him, if you notice, because I need him to think. And if you told him, and when I say be specific, you don't want to be so specific, but you want to tell him what to do. So I'm doing it like, I'm telling him, I want him to get up to sixth gear. But I'm not going to give him the how. I'm not going to be completely specific. Normally, with a normal student, you can tell them, you know, you shift down for power, and you ride that gear up until you get to just over the crest, and if it's, if you might want to go one gear higher, or you might ride down in the same gear. Most people understand how to do that. He did not. So once we went over it, I started to realize that if I just gave him an assignment to get to, like get to sixth gear, and I did that every single time, after about three or four times, he started understanding how to shift. See, it's not that he was stupid, but you got to be specific in what you tell him. You can't just use an overall kind of glaze version of it, but then you have to also say, what's the specific goal? So, and that's the way they kind of learn in college. So, but again, this is what I mean by, regardless of his attitude or what he would say or how he would get mad and say, you know, you're not showing me this. And I never brought up other students. I never said, you know, this student understood when I gave him the original version. He understood by watching me. He didn't just sit there and text message all day, you know, which he was doing, which you will deal with college people. You got to really get their attention. And, you know, I knew he was going to screw up on the mountain. And I also knew that we were in a situation, because it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. We weren't in any danger. But once you get to that point where you can kind of let them make that big mistake, and we have to go down to third gear, you know, more and more, he gets in trouble and he starts to bring it out. And that's when he really starts to think for himself. And before you know it, you say less and less and less. And that's also the key. You got to learn to say less and let the mistakes happen. So when I say be really specific, I'm not necessarily telling you, when you got to pull a guy out of that kind of, you know, you upshifted this gear, and you down this number, and you downshifted this number. Really, you shift with the momentum of the truck. You don't shift with the gear numbers. That's just kind of a training thing we teach you. That's kind of something you need to remember when you get a new truck. But every truck is different. So you need to know exactly what that truck's telling you to do, you know. So that would be like trying to treat every woman the same. You find out really quickly they're not the same. So that's just a little lesson there in learning how to control yourself, which is extremely important in training. Keep attitudes down. And again, when you often deal with somebody who's very, very specific, remember, you need to pull them out of that. You gotta make them think. You gotta let them think by making mistakes. Because eventually, I'm telling you, when he would normally do, he would always come to me when he made a mistake. But once I did that, and we creeped up that mountain, and he got it up there, all of a sudden it started to click with him. Because he understood what to do. Because I gave him a goal, which is the way you try to get guys to understand. But I didn't just give him the goal. I wanted him to use the knowledge he already had to get there. Normally, like I said before, you don't have to do all that, but you tend to have to do that with college cats. So, you know, it's just a little tip out there. So, hopefully that helps you guys out there. Last thing I am going to cover are things to take on the road with you. Okay, things to take on the road with you. What would you take? Mostly, the reason I'm answering this question is the guy asked me about it. So I'm going to ask, I'm not going to ask you guys a comment, but if you listen to the podcast, go and throw a comment in and talk about what you bring if you're a seasoned trucker out there. What I normally bring is I bring about, because I'm out for about 4 days now, 4 or 5 days, so I tend to bring, let's see, I tend to bring four, I don't know, I like a lot of shirts, a lot of socks, a lot of underwear, a lot of washcloths. I use my own washcloths because I'm not, you know, towels not a big deal, but washcloths, you know, they go into personal areas. So, I try to focus on using my washcloths, making sure I got a lot of washcloths. I tend to bring my iPod with me. If you're going out with a trainer, you don't need your laptop yet. I wouldn't recommend it. Bring it when you go out with the trainer because your laptop would be added stress. It really will. You might want to bring a small movie player. You can pick them up for like $100. I love my iPod. Some people use other MP3 players. The reason I like iPods is because it's so easy to use iTunes. Plus, you know, you can go to any Walmart and get you an iTunes prepaid card, and you know, boom, you don't even have to use a credit card. You know, it's just unbelievably convenient. I tend to bring about, you really want to bring about 5 or 6 pair of pants. I'm a big guy. You want to bring, I'm a big guy, so that's usually about the amount of my bag is about 30 inches. So 5 or 6 pair of pants is the entire lower half of about 30 inch bag on the average. The shirts, if you got about 10, that's going to fill up, and then you got your 50 washcloths. Now you can get a pack of 25 or really good washcloths at Costco. You can also get some easily at Walmart. Also, you go to Walmart a lot. If you got a good trainer, he's going to take you to Walmart. Every driver should be going to Walmart. Get the heck out these truck stops overcharging you for everything. Get your butt in Walmart. Get you some stuff. Some Sam's Clubs will let you park. Some Myers will let you park. If you don't know what Myers is, it's kind of like a big Walmart. And plus, who else will let you park? I'm trying to think of another shopping place. Sometimes Costco will let you park. I've seen a couple people. They have a lot of Swift drivers that deliver. I've seen some guys who weren't from Swift just park there and went in and shopped. Can't say they'll do that all the time, but I've seen a few drivers do it. But Walmart, Sam's Club, they tend to like truck drivers. I've even seen some Walmarts with designated truck parking where they want you to park the truck. Try to pay attention that you don't want to have to park there if you can avoid it. You don't want to piss these people off. You know, they're really nice to truck drivers, so try to be nice to them. So that'll fill up, just that alone will fill up about the 2 layers in the 30-inch case. Then you want to bring a notebook, small square notebook that you can write in. You want to make sure it's kind of fits about the palm of your, not in the palm of your hand, but it's about as big as your hand. You don't want a giant notebook. That's too big and papers will get torn out of it. You want a nice small notebook that can fit in anywhere. You want to bring a calculator. If you got your cell phone calculator, that's perfect. Make sure your cell phone, you know how the alarm clock works on it. Because you will be setting your time. Every night you go to bed, you need to make sure. If you go into Warner Enterprises, remember you do have to do paper logs for like a couple weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever the new rules are. Rules change there all the time. You need to make sure that you know exactly what that time is, because you know the CBTs. I talked about the CBTs, the computer based training. You don't really want to have to do a lot of those. I mean, that literally is taking money out of your pocket. Now, as far as getting on an account, you need to be asking about accounts every day. You need to be asking your trainer about accounts every day. I'm no longer with Warner. I'm giving you information that's 8, 9, 10 months old. So you need to be really focused on current drivers and talking to them. Also, you need to really make sure you understand what's available in your area. Do not go to Warner Enterprises and they have no freight in your area. If you live in Vegas, which the guy who asked this question does, you need to make sure that they have freight in your area. If they don't have freight in your area, man, don't go with them. I know guys are in the bind. I know people are struggling right now. But at the same time, I'm getting calls on my phone from companies. I'm getting calls on my phone from people who want to hire me. The economy is turning back around. I don't care what the news says. So as that happens, there's going to be a high tick of demand. You need to be focused on making that boom work for you. Don't let it work against you where you have no freight. Yeah, remember, the freight is king. It's not the company. You're not an employee. You're a career. This is a career. What does that mean? You're going to go from point A to point B. You need to start out right now planning what's your next move when you're out of training and if this doesn't work out. Don't think of this as a job. This is not a job. This is a career. The difference is that your career is what you make of it. Your job is just a widget, you know, a widget. That's all you do. You make the widgets. You work the press. You work the fry line. Right. However, let's say a person like a CPA or an accountant, I mean, they can do a million one things. They can work for a Fortune 500 company, or they can work for McDonald's. I mean, you know, they could be an accountant, or in some cases, that many people hire these people to be bean counters and managers in different situations. Again, that's what you are. You're a truck driver. You have a million and one things you could possibly do. So start thinking about that. Now, being where you are on the West Coast, I would consider looking at and start calling around and talking to drivers. You know, if you see a driver and he's a car hauler, and the reason I'm bringing this up, if you're a thin guy, I don't know how big you are, but if you're a thin guy, the guy who asked this question, I don't have your name handy. I'm still working on it. Still got a little problem with the computer, yeah. But if you are in a situation where you see somebody who can have knowledge that could help you, don't be scared to buy them a coffee, a sandwich, you know, a hamburger, whatever, because that knowledge can really change your situation. In 6 months, my friend, 6 months, anybody new to truck, just for everybody and the guy who asked this question, in 6 months, you will be able to buy a truck, run a truck, get lease purchase programs, go work for a car hauler and make really good, big, pretty good money. You can also go and take this and apply it to any other career that you might want. Let's say you want to go work in law enforcement. You might want to be DOT. You might want to go work in management for a company managing their trucks. So you need to learn about trucks, the mechanics of trucks. One guy I was talking to at Falcon Transport, he's this one of the safety guys out there in Gary, Indiana. He used to be an owner-operator way back in the day. He'd use that knowledge, instead of doing like most people do, assuming that this knowledge is limited, he went and worked in safety. He then left safety and became went to a company and ran the entire trucking division in a company, in a steel company. So this guy went from driving a truck, using that knowledge, and then going behind a desk, getting home every night. This is how a career works. You can do anything, man. You can haul fuel. You know, ask a fuel guy. Help him out. You can, if I was at Warner right now, if I was at Warner and in South Vegas where this guy is from, I'm going to see if I can bring him up, but while I'm talking here, go right there, what I would do, man, is I would probably go to, the Walmart account we have out, that Warner has out there. I'm not working for them anymore. But they have a Walmart account out there. That Walmart account has serious miles. Serious miles. And those serious miles, you know, I mean, I'm talking, we haul oranges, I believe, out there. Warner hauls oranges, not we. But Warner hauls oranges out there. And I could swear, if I'm not mistaken, I spoke to one guy who told me he was doing 5,000 miles out there a week. So that's pretty good. And that, again, this is a guy who's training. So, you know, like I say, man, if you go on to Warner, just accept the fact that training is now a big part of your whether you're going to be successful there. So, I hope I answered the question of what to expect, what to bring. I'm going to do a video answering the question, too. Just figured I'd share this information on the podcast as well. I better go back to the bag. So, you want your pants, a six-pair of pants, and we're talking about a 30-inch bag here. I'm going to go back to that and finish that up. 30-inch bag, you want to bring those things I told you are bare essentials. Only thing I would probably add is make sure you have a lot of socks. Yeah, socks, underwear, things like that. I would not bring a towel. You do need a sleeping bag. It's summertime now. You don't really have to worry about cold weather. But if you get a chance to go to Cabela's and get you a winter sleeping bag with 20 below rating. Right now, they're usually about $100. If you just got to look for them. You might want to get you a coffee mug, because you will learn to drink it. if you didn't drink coffee before, you just became a coffee drinker. You only want to bring one bag. All the stuff I'm telling you needs to fit in one bag. Like I say, your movie player, your iPod, your clothes, all that stuff needs to fit in one bag. That is the other key. Get one bag. Oh, and also bring a sheet. Bring a clothed sheet. Bring a sheet. I said clothed sheet. What the heck am I talking about? I bring a fitted sheet. But go for the biggest one they have. Biggest bed size they have wherever you are. You want to go to Walmart and get that. You also want to get something that is, how can I put this? Liquid proof. Just in case, because you never know who that first trainer might be. That's really about it. Get some hand sanitizer. Some people like to use, they don't like the toilet paper, but you want to bring some toilet paper. Get you a disinfectant. Sometimes I'll take Windex, and when I go to, say, a public bathroom, I'll take the Windex, because it's instant disinfector, and I'll spray it all over the toilet, and I'll just wipe the toilet down with paper towel, and boom, it's clean. So, I'm not going to, don't get me wrong, I don't go in a crap one that's covered in crap or anything, but I definitely don't go into any of the regular ones without washing it down myself, That is really all I can think of, man. I'm finna do a video. Then I'm gonna have your name, and I'll send it to you in a message. And hopefully you'll get this, and hopefully it helps not just you, but everybody out there. And that's about it, guys. That is how to truckdriver101.com. On the blog, I've been putting up books that you can check out. These books are books that I get on from iTunes. You can also get them on audible.com. Audible's a little expensive. Wouldn't buy books there. You might want to go to iTunes if you have an iPod. If you don't, go to Audible. I usually buy, I say, one book a week. Usually I try to only spend about $20-$40. Don't want to spend a lot of money on them.
Yeah, that's about it, girl.
Excuse me, I'm yawning, so I know it's time to go. All right. How to truckdriver101.com.